Testament, Pastor Chris.
All right. I'm used to calling Pastor Cole about this time. Please pray for them. I appreciate him for taking the baton that he gave me, and then I gave it right back, right, for 3 weeks. He's probably looking at me like, you're the pastor. I know, but I have to go to the Philippines, Pastor, for 3 weeks. And he was so gracious and just did so well for us as a church. He does so well. I appreciate him very, very much. I miss him not being here tonight and his wife. So please pray for them as they're trying to get some, well, he would not ever say this, but it's a well-deserved rest. And he better be resting. Pastor, if you're watching tonight, you better be resting. Mrs. Cole, make him rest. Would you please let him know it's okay? He does so much. He's doing so much now that he's retired than when he was a senior pastor. So please pray for him. And he's got a prayer request over there. I know he's not going to make a big deal of this, but I think it's worth praying. He has a problem with his right knee, and now I think it's affecting his right foot. So you know how active he is. He loves painting. If you need anybody to paint for you, go get Pastor Cole. He'll paint for you. All right? But please, in all seriousness, please pray for his right knee and his right foot. It's in the list tonight, all right? I want you to pray for him, and let's ask the Lord to go in behalf of him and heal him. I want to start a message tonight. There's no way I'm going to finish. So guess what? I'm preaching next Wednesday. So I will make it a series. So let's go now to the book of Psalms. Psalms 8. Psalms chapter number 8. My jet lag is kind of going away, but I picked up some sarcasm along the way. So I hope that's okay with you. Psalms chapter number 8. I came from the land of sunshine, and I'm having a hard time in this dreary western New York. So some of the sunshine wants to pop out of me, all right? If you were here Sunday morning, you see how wild I was. I'm trying to kind of simmer down, all right? But the sarcasm is still there. Psalms, chapter number 8. Some of you don't believe me. I'm trying. I am really trying. Chapter number 8, verse number 4. If you can't laugh at church, where do you laugh at? What place do you find enjoyment at if you can't find it in the Christian brother and sister that we should be enjoying, right? If your relationship with one another in the church, at best, is tolerating one another, you got it all wrong. Something is wrong somewhere. These are the people that you should enjoy the most. I'm not preaching that message. I might. But in Scripture, there has to be some point in our ministry, in our life together, as Christian brother and sister that have been here for so long together, that we need to find enjoyment in one another. I'm hearing some good things lately of people spending time with one another outside of church. And they're not cooking the preacher. I don't know, maybe they are. That's why they're having such a good time. But I don't think so. They're really investing in one another's lives. They're really trying to figure out what it means to have a family, a church family. If your idea of a relationship as a Christian only involves the church in the church setting, then you're missing, again, a very big portion of your Christianity. Christians are supposed to live with each other inside the church building and outside the church building. We are a family. We are a family. How in the world can we, I'm not preaching this, but I'm going to preach it because it's coming. How in the world can we practice what God says to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep when we have no clue? We have no clue about each other. It's not enough, guys, to meet each other in the church house for a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, and a Wednesday night. And if that is the only interaction you have with your brother and sister, that you say that you are related to them via Jesus Christ, being saved and being born again, and that's the only relationship you have, ain't enough. Ain't enough. Can I say that? It is not enough. It is not enough. And frustration and annoyance and irritation comes easier when you have no investment in each other. If you have more investment of time, energy, resource to one another, it will give you more patience with one another. And you will give each other more benefit of the doubt, and you will not be angry and hostile and worried with one another. It has to start, guys, with you. We have to learn to live with one another. And living with one another encompasses the time that we are together at church, but it also encompasses the times when we're not at church, when we're grocery shopping, when we're out maybe fellowshipping because we have children of the same age, and we're going to spend time together, and we want to have iron sharpen iron. I'm not preaching this, but I'm going there. I don't know what's going on, but let's go to what I need to do tonight. Psalms. I'm not even there yet. Psalms chapter number 8. And verse number 4. I'm rejoicing because I'm hearing people going, doing things together. People are golfing together. People are eating out together. People are spending time together at each other's houses. People are being a part of each other's life. People are visiting people when they're sick. People are cooking for people when they can't do it for themselves. That's a good thing. That's Christianity. That's practical Christianity 101. All right? That's important. That's something that we need. And you feel that you miss these people when they're not around you. We need to get to the point, guys, that when people that we love are not around us, we miss them. I mean, for real, we miss them. That's the church. That's a good, healthy church, and we need to strive to be that way. We need to try to work together when the Bible says, love as brethren. Am I speaking foreign? Am I teaching you weird things here? I think it's all in the scripture. Why is this important that we have that rapport with one another? Because we got a God that in His nature is that way. We have a God that we serve, that in nature, in His nature, His very nature, is that way. Why did He ever made you? Because He wants to share. He wants to share everything He has with you. Did you know that? He wants to share everything He knows and everything He has with you. When the tabernacle was built, you know why was it built? Because in Exodus, God said this, I want to dwell among you. When God made man, did God take personal interaction with the people He made? Absolutely, every day. Every stinking day, He was with them. We know that from Scripture, when they fell into sin, God knew where they were supposed to meet at the time that they're supposed to meet at that day. And Adam was hiding because of sin. God wants to be with you. Why do you think that He will not want to be with you? From reading the Scripture. He's a personal God. He wants to be in your life as much as you would let Him. He's a gentleman. He'll never force Himself into you. He wants to earn your trust so that you will let Him into your life. That's why He gave you a free will. He doesn't barge in. That's why He has verses that says, prove me. That's why He's got verses, try and see, taste and see if I'm good. He gives it always to your choosing so that He doesn't infringe on your free will. And He gives you a free will so that we can really see what you really want. And God says, you want me, I'm here. I want you. I've been very clear with my word. I want to be with you. When I made you, I wanted to be with you. When I made the tabernacle, I wanted to be with you. And why is there a thought of heaven? Why? So that we could be with God for eternity. So in all of that context, why would you not think that as a Christian, we would not be together? Well, we're going to be together, Pastor, in heaven, but on earth, we can be isolated from one another. I just don't have the time for those people. And I don't want to get irritated. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to be committed to those people. Do you know who they are? Do you know what they do? I think that contradicts all across the board who my God is. My God is about people. And if you're a Christian today and you have a hard time with people, who's your God? In His nature, He loves people. Any great men and great women He used, He sent them to who? To be isolated, to be with people. To be with people. People, people, people is what God is all about. Others, others, and others. Because of His nature, that He's so about people, we're going to talk about the thought tonight, and that is God's point of view of us. Point of view of us. And the title of the message tonight is simple: For Our Good. Thinking about God's nature and the way He views you, the title of the message tonight, For Our Good. And it seems maybe a lot of us have disappointments and some discouragement, maybe lately. Maybe there's some hopes that has been shattered. Maybe news that have come to you that has really shaken your life. I don't know. Maybe things have come in the way of disappointment. And you wonder sometimes, or maybe in your life you feel like there's some things that have happened that I didn't deserve. I was wronged. I was ridiculed for no reason. I really didn't do anything to deserve that kind of, but it happened. And you may be thinking about all of those things. And you might say, well, how long will this bad situation continue in my life? How long will I need to struggle this way? You know, or when maybe will the storm be over? Some people in our church that's been going through it. And you might think, as you're going through it, how long is this storm going to last? When can the normal be back? Meaning before the storm. The uncertainty of our day, if we are not watchful. And I hate to tell you this, you have no control of what will happen. Take no thought for tomorrow. God warns us very clearly. Don't think, as an American, because we're schedule driven and we feel like we can control a lot of the outcome of our life, that is not true anymore for us. It is very true for us. You can schedule to the wazoo, but one moment in time can change your entire life. One moment in time. Now, our mindset as Americans, we're goal-oriented people, and we got a bunch of goals ahead of us. Maybe they're not written down, but they're in our brains. When I get to this age, I want to do this. When I get to this point in my career, I want to be here. When I get to this point, I want to be here. And then all of a sudden, life happens to you, and life can be cruel, and life has no respecter of persons. It just happens. And things fall apart for you. And you're left to wonder and walk around. You feel hopeless. What's the point now? You know, some of you have gone through some very, very tragic relationship problems. Separation and other things such as that nature. Those are very, very, very hard to go through. And you're going to think what I'm about to preach today, that does not seem to be the what I'm feeling, who God is in my life. That He is for my good. Because nothing is happening. No good thing is happening to me. It's just a mess. It's just so bad. And you might be left hopeless. But let me warn you tonight that he has it under control. He knows exactly what's happening. I don't. And you don't. But he does. When things seem to make no sense, then trust the unchanging God. Why this hardship, you say? Why is this happening? Because God has a plan and he knows what he's doing. Point number one tonight, when it seems to not go your way and things are falling apart, it seems, and there's some disappointments, don't forget that, number one, God's perspective, his perspective, number one, is our well-being. His perspective is our well-being. His will, his motivation, what motivates our God has to do, not entirely, obviously, he wants himself to be glorified, right? We know that in Revelation 4, verse 11. But part of his will, if we are careful and watchful, when we glorify God, all right, that's what he wants, part of his will. But alongside of that comes this thought. He's always watching out for us. It's for our well-being. So his perspective, his will, is our well-being. And may clarify with the verses I'm going to read to you. Psalms chapter number 8 and verse number 4. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read it to you, okay? Just follow along. Psalms chapter number 8 and verse number 4. And it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? Why does God care about you? That's the question that was presented here. This is a question here by the writer. Why is God paying attention to me? Why is God paying attention to me? Look at Hebrews chapter number 2. I'm not going to turn there. I got it on my notes for the sake of time. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 6, if you want to turn or write it down. He says, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and of the son of man that thou visitest him? So Hebrews, whoever wrote Hebrews, some believe it's Paul, quoted this verse. So in the Old Testament, it's mentioned. Now in the New Testament, it's been quoted by Hebrews. Same verse. Let me read Hebrews again. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Okay, why is God so concerned and so enamored with paying attention to us human beings? Look at Job, chapter number 14 and verse number 6. Job chapter number 14 and verse number 6. Job chapter number 14 and verse number 6. 16, I should say. 14, 16. Look at the verse, and how it gives us this idea that God's paying attention. For now thou numberest my steps. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? Now in context, we know that God's eyes are to and fro upon the earth, beholding the evil and the good. And I know he's watching out for our sin in this verse. Dost thou not watch over my sin? But I think if you can take the first part of the verse in Job 14:16, for now thou numberest my step, I think you find the idea that he's doing here is that he keeps an eye on you and he doesn't want you to sin. Would you agree with that other portion of scripture where God says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? And in that same book, in the book of Psalms, you find another verse that says, he orders our step by his word. And he said he doesn't let iniquity have rule over us. And iniquity in its root form is simply self-will. And in Proverbs you find that a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So you're getting a context I'm giving you now. I believe God watches over you as his children, and he's trying to keep you from sinning. And he's trying to guide you by his word. That's how much he's paying attention to you in your life. He's concerned about you. All right? The point I'm trying to talk about tonight is it's for our good. For our good. Number one, his perspective, his viewpoint, his will. Part of it is your well-being. Just like any parent that want their children to succeed in life, God is the same with every children he has. As much as you don't want to sin, God doesn't want you to. More. And he has the plan for you to make it. He has the plan for you to succeed. He has the plan for you to live a victorious Christian life. And my suggestion to you is just work with God. Work with God. Work with him instead of against him. And he's paying attention to your steps and he's watching over you so that you don't fall into sin. God is not happy when his children fall into sin. He's not happy with that. Psalms 56 and verse number 8. Psalms 56 and verse number 8. I think we'll do the point number one. I got two more points in the conclusion at the next time. Let's see what happens here with time. Psalms 56 and verse number 8. So we know he numbers our steps. Look at Psalms 56 and verse number 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. When you don't even know what you're doing and you're lost and you're trying to find the way to life. You know, a lot of people, when they get to high school, there's a magical moment of revelation in their brain that says, now what? And I'm trying to figure out who I am. I need to find myself. In that time, when you're so lost and wondering and don't know even who you are, God knows exactly who you are. He's paying attention. And he says this, for now thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? So we see in Job, he knows the amount of steps we take. Here in this verse, we find that he knows our wanderings and that our tears are bottled up. So if he's bottling your tears, I don't know how he's doing that. But if he's bottling your tears, I would suggest that he's paying attention when you're crying. Either you're crying for joy or you're crying because of sorrow. He's paying attention to you. He's paying attention to you. I don't know what's going on in your life. I know that there's disappointments. I know if there's some shattered dreams that just happened to you. Or if everything's hunky-dory for you, good for you. But put this in the back of your mind when things fall apart, because life has a way of happening. Life, a cursed world, has a way of hurting good people. And it might come your way. And if it comes your way, don't forget about God's perspective. And his will, part of it is your well-being. He keeps an eye on you. You matter to God. And how you feel matters to him. And your emotion matters to him. Your reaction matters to him. Your action matters to him. Your motive matters to him. Your desire matters to him. Your ambition matters to him. Your friends matter to him. Where you go to church matters to God. Where you go to work matters to God. What you spend your money on matters to God. Because he's a personal God that cares for you personally. Look at Matthew, chapter number 10, and verse number 30. He knows an amount of steps you're taking. He's better than the Fitbit you have. He's got it all. He knows the steps you're taking. That Fitbit lies to you I know it lies to you. Because if I put it on a slingshot and just goes like this, that will say that I'm walking the marathon, but I didn't do nothing but swing it for like 4 or 5 times. It's a liar that did this, a liar. And I wore it thinking that I'm doing good. And nothing happened. Still fat. I tried it. Maybe I didn't do a good job of exercising and eating properly. Maybe I should add a dose. But anyways, get to the spiritual things. Matthew, by that exercise, profit a little. Matthew, chapter number 10, verse 30. All the excuses, right? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Matthew 10, 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Whether you have a lot or not. You're starting to see that your God pays attention to you. To the detail, but sometimes you don't even pay attention to yourself. He knows how many hairs you got on your head. And in that passage, he said, we're better than the sparrow. When's the last time you paid attention to a sparrow? When God knows that every one of them that fall, he knows when they fall. And God says, you are much better than the sparrow. And if you try to believe in evolution that makes us an animal, I can tell you this. They don't love us as God does. Because God says we're better than the sparrow. So, he knows how many steps you take. He bottles your tears. He knows how much hair you have. Matthew 6, verse number 8. Matthew 6 and verse number 8. This is your God. This is the God you say you serve. This is the reason why you come on Wednesday night. To hear about this God. And look what he says in Matthew 6 and verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father... This is talking about lost people. Don't be like unto the lost people. Because your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, before you ask him. Can I get a testimony? Can I get a shout out to my God that pays attention to you when you at times ignore him and don't pay attention to him? He pays attention so close to you that if you're falling asleep right now, good for you. I wish I could do the same. But let me tell you his perspective on you. It's for your good. He cares for you so much that part of his will encompasses your well-being. Your well-being. He pays attention to you. Guys, when we write the things that we write back there and we become technical with our medical terms, God is not shocked by that. He's the great physician. He knows exactly what's ailing you. Better than the people that told you what it is. They're just practicing medicine. God came up with the whole thing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know why we're at times sad. And there's some legit reason to be sad. All right? But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I want to put a smile on your face and let you know that your God pays close attention to you. Pastor, nobody knows that I want to do this for God. Well, he does. Well, Pastor, I want to do this, I want to do this, but it seems like it's not happening. The opportunity is not presenting itself. Well, he does. He does, guys. He does. He's paying attention to you. He knows what you need. Think about that for a few seconds here in your brain. He knows what you need. Chris Barron, your God knows exactly what you need in all realms of your life. He knows where I need to mature, and he knows how to provide that maturity. He knows what I need physically, and I'm failing him, probably my biggest failure. He knows what I need to relate to my wife. He knows what I need to relate to my children. He knows what I need to relate to you, the congregation that God has placed me to be the pastor of. He knows how I need to relate to my staff, Pastor Sent, Brother Frank and Shannon. He knows how I need to relate to Pastor Paul. He knows everything I need. That's my God. And that's your God. For a moment in time, when you're about to complain and say to your mind, why does nobody know? Stop yourself and let the discouragement roll off of you and say no. No, God knows. God knows the deepest disappointment I have. God knows some of the broken relationship that needs to be mended in my life. God knows. God cares for you. His perspective is for your good. Part of His will is your well-being. Wow. That's my God. What a God. Psalms 40 and verse number 5. Psalms chapter number 40 and verse number 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done. And thy thoughts, which are to usward. Now, pause and memorize this verse if you're in the discouragement. You just got a bad news from the doctor. Something just happened. Or even if everything's okay, rest in this thought. Look at this. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Next time you look into the skies, and somebody said they have counted the stars, I doubt it. But as the stars are without numbered, the same mentality here, same meaning here. God's thoughts to you are all cannot be numbered. As many as there are stars in the sky, you can pick one star at a time and you can associate it. God thought of me then. God thought of me then. That whole cluster over there, God thought of me. Each and every speck over there, He thought of me. That's how much you are in God's mind. How much you see in our mind. Wow. I fail to think of Him as much as He thinks of me. I have no complaint. Because I fail Him. And He's never failed me. His thoughts to us are without numbered. So when discouragement and disappointment and things don't go according to your plan happen to you, pause for a second and say, I have a good God. I have a loving God. I have a God that when He thinks, I'm part of it. What privilege you have as a Christian brother, as a Christian sister, that there's a God that you serve that think of you. Is it nice that somebody think of you, right? On your birthday, they greet you, happy birthday. Does that feel good, right? When you feel like nobody knows, and then somebody finds out it's your birthday and gives you a text, and you feel, wow, feel like $1 million. Somebody recognized it was my birthday. Well, God recognizes things like that all the time. And His thoughts are without numbered. Look at the Psalms. I'm almost done with first point. All right. Psalms 139 and verse 14 to 18. I'll close. I promise you. We need to go home. Verse number 14 of Psalms 139. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. There's no children here. God's involved in that. Verse 16. That, by the way, that part of marriage was God ordained. Don't let the world take and rob that pleasure that God has given to married people. You understand that? Verse number 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. Verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, there are more than numbers than the sand. Oh, there. If you don't want to look at the sky, I was just in beaches of the Philippines, white beaches. There's no way you can count the grains of sand. And God says this, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, when I awake, I am still with thee. I am still with thee. Look at this last two verses. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know thy thoughts that I think toward you. God is talking. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. This is how I think about you. Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. All right? Not of evil. His thoughts of us are of peace. His perspective, his will encompasses our well-being. He is watching out for you. If you feel like nobody else is watching out for you, if you feel like nobody's on your side, if you're born again child of God today, may I encourage you, God on your side. And he is loyal. He doesn't change teams because he's on your side. And his thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace, not of evil. So let me say this. Why are you thinking evil of one another? When the nature of God that you serve, that you should be enveloped and transformed into his image and become just like him as a Christian, we should stop thinking the things that we think towards other people. It should change us. Now, we have to be careful. We have to be wise as serpent and harmless as dove. But at the same time, we should have some thoughts of genuine goodness to other people because our God thinks that way. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Psalms 34 and verse 8, our last verse for tonight, and we'll be done. Psalms 34 and verse number 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. For our good. Number one, his perspective. His will. And that encompasses our well-being. I want you to go home tonight and think this. You're on God's mind more than you realize. And he's paying attention to your life. And if you need anything, he said he's just a phone call away. You can just pray right at that moment. And he will answer you. I hope you'll be encouraged. I hope you'll be empowered. And I hope that you will rejoice over your God because he's so good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the way you think of us. We are blessed and humbled to realize that the Almighty God like you thinks that way about us. Lord, we know we're wicked. We know we're needing a lot of help. Thank you that you do provide the help and you watch out for our steps and you provide ways that we would not get hurt by sin. Lord, help us, Lord, in our lives, whatever it is that we're facing today, that we would remember that your perspective, the way you think, the way you're looking at us, and is for our good. Lord, thank you so much for all the thoughts you think on us. Thank you that you want the best for us. Bless us tonight as we're dismissed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're fine.